Many thanks once again to Dawn, to Sarah, to all the ladies that have worked so tirelessly so that we could gather this weekend. The fellowship has been sweet, and the Lord certainly has been teaching me much in my own heart. Can you believe it's our last session? It just goes by so quickly. I always get a little sad when we're near the end. Let's review a little bit as we move into this very last session, learning thankfulness. We've talked about the weeds that lurk in our heart, that we need to root out, the weeds of sinful discontentment. We talked about the fruit of a discontented heart. The proof that you might be discontented is reflected in the words that come from your mouth, grumbling, murmuring, complaining. We've learned to look for God's sovereignty in all aspects of the events of our lives. We've talked about that Christ is sufficient to make us content. We've looked at the examples of the Apostle Paul and Jesus. We've learned how important it is to not be stagnant, to continue to grow in our love for Christ and our knowledge of Him by studying Scripture. We've talked about embracing grace that God offers when we're suffering. Now we want to look at the fruit or the bloom of a heart that is content in Christ. What will be the visible manifestation of a contented heart? We've talked about going to school to learn to cultivate our hearts, to plant those seeds of contentment. So the fruit of contentment will be gratitude, the outward expression of a contented heart. I think it is so important after we talk about contentment to take it one step further and to learn to actively give thanks in all things. And as Sarah mentioned, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, less than 2 weeks away. And this is the time of year when most people will start thinking a little bit about giving thanks. But in reality, for many Americans, the focus on Thanksgiving Day will be football, gluttony, which of course is the acceptable sin, and shopping on Black Friday. Now, how many of you like to get up very early and go shopping on Black Friday to get those great deals? I know the deals are fantastic out there on Black Friday, but you just get to that stage of life where it's so hard to give up sleep, and I've just decided I'm going to go get my deals later in the day. But good for you. You're being a Proverbs 31 woman, getting up early and getting those good shopping deals. Who is it that people thank on Thanksgiving apart from Christ? Many people will just thank Mother Nature, and that's the extent of their Thanksgiving. Many people will not even stop to thank a true personal God for all His blessings in their life. But as believers, we want to be known for being thankful people, not just at Thanksgiving, but all throughout the year. And I believe giving thanks verbally is one of the most distinctive trademarks of being a believer. It's an attractive, Christ-like quality. You remember Jesus gave thanks before going to the cross. And this attitude of thankfulness is something I learned from my own precious mother in love. She was a Naomi in my life and taught me so much as a new believer when I married her son. She was continually thanking God for everything, little things and big things in her life. She thanked God for the blessings and for the trials that He allowed. I remember she was even thanking God when she was losing her husband of 50 years to Lou Gehrig's disease, which is a very difficult disease. But she gave thanks that he was able to die at home and she could be with him. We lost her a couple of years ago, but she had a tremendous impact in my own thinking as I learned to be more grateful. Now, have you ever visited the elderly in nursing homes? To me, it seems that there are two kinds of people at the end of life. People that are grateful, thankful people, and those that are bitter and ungrateful. It can even show in their countenances. And what we want to end up at the end of our life needs to be cultivated now. Do we want to be known as grateful Christian women? Our society is so ungrateful, especially in the United States of America. Did you know that 39% of the world's wealth lies in this country? 39% of the world's wealth. But as a nation, we can be known for much whining and complaining. We just got through an election season, and you heard it for yourself. Even believers, though, can be known for failing to give thanks. We are thankful when the blessings come, but we also need to learn to thank God when those trials come. Failure to give thanks can lead to a weak testimony. Ingratitude reveals a proud heart that is not needing God. Henry Ward Beecher said, "Pride will slay thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves." Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth tells this story in her book, Choosing Gratitude. And isn't this how we think sometimes? Two friends ran into each other at a store one day, and one of the men was in a foul, depressed mood, not even able to work up a smile. "What's the trouble, buddy?" asked his friend. "Oh, let me tell you," said the man. "Last week, my uncle died, and he left me $40,000. "Really?" said his friend. "Yes, then the week after that, a cousin I hardly knew died and left me $85,000. "You've got to be kidding me," said his friend. The man said, "This week, a great aunt passed and left me $250,000. "Friend, why do you have the long face then?" "This week," said the man, "nothing." Ouch. We can think that way, thinking we deserve more than what we have. So we have to be careful, even as Christians, because unthankfulness will lead to bitterness and covetousness. A grateful person, in contrast, will know her unworthiness before God. We know that we have more than we deserve. Let's take a scriptural example and turn to Luke 17. Luke 17, I will begin in verse 11. While traveling to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, passed between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with serious skin diseases met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And while they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, the main point of this passage in Luke is not necessarily about gratitude. It's more about the deity of Jesus Christ. And he is proving that he is the Son of God through his miracles. But you could hear him tell this Samaritan man, "By you returning to give thanks to me, you are giving glory to God." So there is a sub-theme of gratitude in this passage. I am sure the other 9 men were very grateful to be able to see again. But only one took the time to come back and thank the healer. The others were focused on the healing, but the Samaritan man returned to give thanks to his healer. So thankfulness will take contentment one step further, from the state of our heart to verbal expression. Many times I will find myself praying, and the Lord is so faithful and answers, and I can forget to go back and thank him for answering my prayer. And I'm praying that the Lord will help make that interval a shorter amount of time where I look for his answers and go back to thank him for answering prayer. We want to be purposeful as we learn to be grateful women. This is going to show hope to other people and attract them to the true God. How can we have a good witness in our worlds if the words out of our mouth are the grumbling and complaining, in contrast to words of thankfulness and gratitude to our good God? So let's look a little bit at the meaning of the word thanks. The words thanks and grace come from the same Greek word. Isn't that interesting? And that Greek word is charis. Not sure if that's on your outline, but it's C-H-A-R-I-S. Thanks and grace come from that same Greek word. We get the word charitable from charis. Charis means grace on the part of the giver, our God, and charis means thanks on the part of the receiver, we as believers. We even get the word Eucharist from this root word charis. And that's a good reminder to always give thanks when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, remembering his death on the cross and his resurrection as he conquered sin. Gratitude should be the normal daily response to all of God's grace that he's shown to us through Christ. And the writer of Hebrews encourages believers to continually always offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving in Hebrews 13:15 as we respond to God's grace. So I want you to always start thinking about God's grace in your life. The natural response should be thanksgiving on your part. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "All things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Now, I'm going to tell you another story from Nancy Wolgemuth's book, Choosing Gratitude, another wonderful book that'll help you in your quest for contentment. And see if you can guess of what lady I'm speaking about. By today's standard, she should have been unhappy. Her father died when she was very young, leaving her to be raised by her mother and grandmother. As a result of a doctor's careless error, when she was only 6 weeks old, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. The tragic and traumatic experiences of this woman's childhood years would have given most people grounds for a lifetime of self-pity and bitterness. But in her autobiography, this woman says, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank him for this dispensation." The doctor who destroyed her sight never forgave himself, and he moved from the area. But there was no room in this woman's heart for resentment or bitterness. She said, "If I could meet him now, I would say thank you, over and over again for making me blind." For over a century, the church has reaped the rich benefits of this woman's thankful heart. She wrote more than 8,000 songs, including some of my favorites, "To God Be the Glory," "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," and "Blessed Assurance." Do you know of whom I speak? Fanny Crosby. What an example of a contented woman in Christ who was grateful and expressed her gratitude in words. And the Apostle Paul, because he had learned contentment, he was extremely thankful. If you read the epistles of Paul, he's always beginning with, I give thanks to my God and Father for you. He is verbally expressing his gratitude. He never wavered through the hard circumstances. And we even said the book of Philippians is like one big thank you letter to his saints. Paul learned to yield all rights to Christ, and his heart was filled with gratitude. He states, "I have all and abound. I am full." He was thankful with his words because he had a settled, contented heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our greatest example, giving thanks to the Father before going to the cross. When we remember the cross, we are reminded that all we really deserve is hell. But Christ spared us from that punishment. That is reason to give thanks. If you have no other reason in your life to be grateful, the cross certainly gives you reason to have a heart full of gratitude. Someone has said this old quote, and I think it is so true. For the non-Christian, this earth is the only heaven they will ever have. But for the Christian, this earth is the only hell we will ever experience. Commentator Matthew Henry wrote that thanksgiving is a proper answer to dark and disquieting thoughts, and it may be an effectual means to silence them. Songs of praise are sovereign cordials to drooping souls and will help to cure melancholy. When we have no other answer to the suggestions of grief and fear, we may have recourse to say this, I thank thee, O Father. Another preacher said that gratitude can be a vaccine to prevent the invasion of a disgruntled attitude. Isn't that good? Gratitude can act like a vaccine to prevent the invasion of a disgruntled attitude. As antitoxins prevent the disastrous effects of certain poisons and diseases, thanksgiving destroys the poison of fault-finding and grumbling. So a grateful heart will show itself with grateful speech. We said earlier from Matthew chapter 12 that words reflect the state of our heart. An unthankful, discontented heart is going to be proven with murmuring, complaining, and grumbling words. And sadly, when you think of the children of Israel, do you get positive thoughts about them as a group of people or more negative? Probably more negative. Their legacy was one of unthankfulness. They complained, they murmured against God. But we can be like them and forget all that God has done for us. So we want to develop and practice this discipline of gratitude. Matthew Henry was once robbed, and he wrote this familiar passage as he thought about the incident. Listen to this determined state of mind to be grateful. He said, let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. I think that's such a beautiful perspective. And missionary to the American Indians, one of my heroes of the faith, David Brainerd, died in his 20s. Yet he had a very thankful spirit while alive and counted his blessings, though he had a very difficult life with many physical challenges. Once his biography says he developed a toothache and developed a high fever and was in great pain. But he thanked God that the distress fell upon him while he was visiting friends and he was not all alone. In another illness, he penned, blessed be the Lord, I am not exposed in the open air, but I have a house and many comforts to support me. Through many weeks of solitude, forging through swamps, on rocky soil, and through dark nights, with no human fellowship, he said, what reason for thankfulness I have on account of this retirement? Because he knew that loneliness drew him to a closer walk with the Lord, and he was thankful. Now, all of us know people who might be difficult to be around because they're not thankful, and they tend to complain a lot, or you might see yourself in this category. This can spread and poison the love and joy in our homes. So we want to learn, as we put on this seed of contentment, to prove it to other people by having words of gratitude. Thankfulness is something that needs to be communicated to God and to other people with words. And I can be so guilty of this, even with the people I know and love the most. I might think thankful thoughts about my husband, my children, my church, friends. I'll think about that. But how many times do I go back to those people or to the Lord and thank them for the role they've had in my life? Ephesians 5:20 reminds us to give thanks always for all things. So there is a close connection with having this spirit of gratitude in learning contentment and accepting God's sovereignty in our lives, knowing that all our life comes through his providential care. John MacArthur tells us also that if we want to serve the Lord effectively, we need to be grateful children. Dr. MacArthur says this, a thankful heart is essential for true spiritual service. If you're trying to serve the Lord without gratitude in your heart for all that he's done for you, then you're probably serving in the flesh with improper motives. One who's thankful realizes that God has a cause for everything that happens. One who serves externally, legalistically, or ritualistically will not find very many things to be thankful for in this life because he is not grateful for all the things God has done for him. I think what tends to come easiest for us in the Thanksgiving department is to be thankful for what Puritan pastor Jonathan Edwards calls the secondary blessings of life. What are these secondary blessings that we enjoy? Things like our health, the homes God gives us, our jobs, the family we have, freedom in this country to worship Christ, and appreciation for all the good, tangible gifts that God gives us. They might be spiritual, emotional, or material. But Edwards says if people only love God for what he does for them, then our affections are beginning at the wrong end. Because Jesus says sometimes even pagans thank God for those blessings. This gratitude does not come naturally, though, when things go badly in life. And Edwards calls the most important or primary form of thankfulness gracious gratitude. This is thanking God for who he is, thanking him for his character, for his attributes, that he's a God of love, mercy, justice, and that he is holy. And this is the kind of gratitude that can grow in the midst of a pain or trial in our life. We see this in the psalmist's praise during difficult circumstances, and we also saw it when we looked at the life of Job. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him." This primary thankfulness is one we probably need to develop in our lives, relishing God for who he is, not just what he does for us. It's relational. One of my favorite books of the Bible that I've just grown to love through the years is the book of Colossians, because it is so Christ-honoring and all focused from Paul on thanksgiving to the Lord. Let me just read some of these verses to you. You have the verses in your outline, but listen to the sense of thanksgiving that Paul had. Colossians 1:3, we, Paul and Timothy, give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. 2 verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you were called and be thankful. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Paul learned gratitude because he had a heart of contentment. So grab your pens, a little bit more in-house work. Look at your outline for our second division. I want you to start thinking as we consider spiritual and material blessings that you've received recently from the Lord. We're going to write down one or two areas that you will be able to go home and thank God for. So I don't want you to start thinking about individual people yet at this point, but I want you to start thinking of a spiritual blessing you've received recently from the Lord or a material blessing. If you can't think of anything, you can always write down salvation as the greatest gift. I want you to think about something you might be learning in the Bible, what book you're reading from and what you've been learning about Christ through it. Or think of a financial provision he has provided for you. Oswald Chambers said, "The thing that awakens the deepest well of gratitude in a human being is that God has forgiven sin." So take just a minute, write down one or two things that you will go home and thank God for, a spiritual or a material blessing. All right, next, I want you to start thinking about people God has brought into your life, someone who you can verbally thank for their part in your life. It could be a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a boss, a pastor's wife, a teacher. Some person, one or two names that you can write down for someone you want to thank for their role in your life, helping you to grow as a believer in Christ. It might be someone here in your church, or someone you've taken for granted. I would encourage you when you get home, this is part of your homework assignment, to even send a note in the mail to this person, if that's appropriate. It's so exciting to receive a real note in the mail these days. It's such a rarity. But thank them if they live far away, and let them know specifically how God used them in your life. Now, the difficult part. Think to this past year. Think back. Think about some trial that the Lord has allowed in your life that you want to thank Him for. An area where you depended upon Him greatly and you saw His presence and embraced His grace. Think about a trial, a most recent trial, and write that down so you can thank the Lord for what He taught you through it and that He was with you in it. When we had our children many years ago, 3 of the 4 of our children were quite premature. And my youngest and smallest baby was 2.5 months premature at 3.5 pounds. And I could literally hold him in the palm of my hand. Now he's 6'2", has perfect vision. The Lord's been so gracious. But because I went into premature labor, for some reason, in God's sovereignty, I went through a very dark depression, especially after his birth. And I know there are different views on depression in the church for the believer. All I know is that I had a very serious postpartum depression, which lasted for about 9 months. And the Lord had so much to teach me in that. I was just so dependent upon Christ every day. And one of the lessons the Lord taught me was I needed to develop a thankful spirit because I had not been a thankful person up to that point. God used that trial to show me how much I needed Him and that I needed to be thankful for all the blessings I had in Christ. He also taught me how much I needed to renew my mind in Scripture. Philippians 3 verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ walks with us in a deeper, special intimacy when we go through the trials. He is there with us to walk through the valley, Philippians 3 8. So those are some things you can do when you get home, some things to thank the Lord for, and some people to thank for their role in your life. And as you read Scripture in your own personal quiet time, look for specific areas that we can thank God for. There are so many examples. And in this next session, I will give you just a few of the areas we can thank God for. First, we can thank our Lord that He is a personal God. Thank Him that He is a personal God. No other religion can say this. Psalm 118, verse 28 says, "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you." Something to be thankful for that we can intimately know in a relationship the true God. Secondly, we can thank God for His Word. Most of us probably have many Bibles in our homes, and we can still study and grow in the knowledge of Christ through His Word. Thank God for His Word. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, "I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. You have magnified your word above all your name." What a blessing to have the Scriptures and to know the mind of Christ. We can also thank God for the joy of sharing in God's inheritance. As believers, we have the joy of sharing in God's inheritance. Colossians 1:12 says, "Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." We have a wonderful future ahead of us, ladies. We will be worshiping our Lord together. We have a great inheritance to be thankful for. We can thank God when we see people embracing the gospel. When people accept and believe the good news of forgiveness of sin, we can thank God for that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. This was Paul's passion, spreading that gospel. And we can praise and thank God when we see people respond. We can give thanks for food and temporal blessings. I think this is something we usually remember to do. Mark 8:6 says, Jesus set the example for us as he gave thanks for the 7 loaves and the few fish. We can thank God for grace he gives to believers. We've talked a lot about grace this weekend. Let's thank God for grace. 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. We can thank God for his wonderful deeds. Thank him for his wonderful deeds. Psalm 9:1, David says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all of your marvelous works. So give thanks for God's wonderful deeds, and that includes his beautiful creation. Thank God for his holy and righteous name. Thank him for his holy and righteous name. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. And lastly, thank God for his steadfast love. Thank God for his steadfast love. Psalm 106, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. God's love is not conditional. It is always for us. And this is just a partial list of things we can thank God for. As you study scripture, find your own reasons to give more and more thanks to our God. Well, as we wrap up this session on gratitude, remember, gratitude will be the natural response of a heart that's learning contentment. The words that come out of our mouth should be less and less murmuring, grumbling, and complaining, many more words of gratitude. And a favorite quote I found to relate contentment to gratitude is by Ellen Vaughn. She says that gratitude unleashes the freedom to live content in the moment, rather than being anxious about the future or regretting the past. And that is so much the way of our thinking many times. Living in the past, regrets, or worrying about the future. The what if, the if only thoughts. So you probably see a connection at that point. When we're content, the words coming out of our mouth will be words of gratitude. If you find that you're not content, start practicing gratitude, and that can help train your heart to be content. Practice thankfulness to change your heart. A pastor by the name of Russell Kiefer has written this, a Bible pledge that he gave to the Lord. We could echo these words ourselves. Having been born into the kingdom of God, I do hereby acknowledge that God has purchased my life, including all the rights and control of that life for all eternity. I do further acknowledge he has not guaranteed me to be free from pain or to have success and prosperity. He has not guaranteed me perfect health. He has not guaranteed me perfect parents. He has not guaranteed me perfect children. He has not guaranteed me the absence of pressures, trials, misunderstandings, or persecution. But what he has promised to me is eternal life. What he has promised is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, self-control. He has given me all of himself in the exchange for the rights to my life. Therefore, I acknowledge this day the relinquishment of all my rights and expectations and humbly ask him by his grace to replace these with a grateful spirit for whatever in his wisdom he deems to allow for my life. Elizabeth Elliot has said, be grateful for what is given rather than resentful for what is withheld. So as you go home and prayerfully look over some of these scripture verses and meditate on some of these passages in the weeks ahead, Start pulling those weeds of discontentment. Ask your husband or someone who really knows you well, what are some areas that you find me grumbling or complaining in so I can repent from that? Learn to plant these seeds of contentment by renewing your mind, by being in Scripture, growing in your love for Christ and knowledge of Him, and embrace the grace He offers in the trials. Follow the example of Paul and Jesus, and begin the discipline of practicing gratitude, grateful words. What He has asked you to change, He will enable you to change through His Spirit. So the secret of learning contentment, well, that is going to be Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. In our prayer life, we can even thank God in advance for what He's going to do in the future. For all eternity, around the throne of God, we will be giving thanks. Psalm 31, verse 12 says, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So when you find yourself unthankful and forgetting all that God has done for you, I want to point you to Psalm 103. And we're going to make that our closing, not only for this session, but for the entire conference. So if you'll turn to Psalm 103, a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving. My soul, praise Yahweh, and all that is in within me, praise His holy name. My soul, praise the Lord, and do not forget all His benefits. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with goodness. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes acts of righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He revealed His way to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and rich in faithful love. He will not always accuse us or be angry forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins or repaid us according to our offenses. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His faithful love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it vanishes, and its place is no longer known. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear Him, and His righteousness toward the grandchildren of those who keep His covenant, who remember to observe His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, all His angels of great strength, who do His word, obedient to His command. Praise the Lord, all His armies, His servants, who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, in all the places where He rules. My soul, praise Yahweh. Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and our hearts are so full as we wrap up our time together. Lord, the only reason we meet is because of You and the bond we share in Christ. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. We have every reason of all people, Lord, on this earth to be grateful, contented women. But we do ask for Your help. And I pray for each of the women here, Father, that will be going home. Some of them will face some tests and trials, maybe even on the drive home. But I pray that You would take Your word, which You promise will not return void, and use it in all of our lives so we can respond in a way that shows contentment, and we can offer words of gratitude for Your glory and to be a distinct witness to the world. I pray a special blessing on all the ladies, Dawn, Sarah, and the ones I don't even know by name, but You know, who provided this conference for us, Lord. Thank You for all that we have learned. We love You. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this all in His name. Amen.